Session number 5868, Horton Mundy, part 2.
Well, after a time in the trenches, you began to get fed up with the food and you look forward to being relieved and spend a few days in the wood to rest and have some hot food. Because day after day, eating bully beef, that was Libby's and Fray Bentus bully beef, and McConaughey's, which was meat and vegetables in a tin. They were very nice. And then, of course, you had your old-fashioned Tickler's jam, which you had the choice of two, really, as we used to say at the time. You either had plum and apple, or apple and plum jam, which you liked best. But anyway, to get down to the what actually happened, when it became close on your time to be relieved, the message used to go along the trench, "Oh, we're being relieved tonight, back in the wood for a rest." And so it happened. Well, when it got dark, there used to be guides come up to guide you out where you'd got to go in the wood. Well, now that wood, as near as I can tell you, was set out very much like a little London, because there was pathways cut in all directions, and they was laid down with duck boards so you walked on, and each roadway or path through the wood was named, and they was named after streets in London, such as Tottenham Court Road, Regent Street, Oxford Street, and so on. And then the places where you had to go to rest, where your company or battalion was, that was set out, such as Piccadilly Circus, Trafalgar Square, Hyde Park, and so on. Well, all those paths and centres was marked out and named so that the eye command naturally knew where everyone was. Well, now, when you went back, you came out the trenches, you wandered across the open ground, and a guide took you to the path which led to your particular place, which was usually the same that you always went to. Now, when you got there, because it was night time, dark, you could only go in and out in the dark, but when you got there, then you settled down. You had your ground sheet, which was a, well, sort of a rubber thing, ground sheet, which you laid down, and then, in my case, always used to do the same, because if your feet was warm, you was warm all over. Well, I always used to take my tunic off, put my feet in the sleeves, and wrap the tunic round my legs. And I used to put my boots at the top and my hat on my boots for my pillow, and wrap a blanket round me and my greatcoat over the top, and you could sleep as sound as a bell. Well, now, that's what I always used to do as soon as I settled down to kip for the night. And in the morning, well, then the cookers was in the wood all ready for you. And there was a Wolverton chap on our cookers and the Pellamine, but so I used to do very well. Well, now, I had a section, as I told you. I told you I had the mighty rank of a Lance Corporal. What the hell for, it don't matter. But anyway, that was my job then, to go and draw the rations for my section, about 8 or 10 of us. And I used to go and get the breakfast, and that used to give it to you for the section on a tray. And this chap from Wolverton, Phil Wills, he always used to put me quite a lot of fat in the tin so that we could dip a bread in it. Well, there was rations of bacon or sometimes sausage, and then I used to have to dish that out round to each one. Well, my old mate, Sid Carroll, well, you put it in your tin lid, you see, anything like that, you use your tin lid. And I used to give old Sid my tin lid, and I used to draw his and mine as well, put it in together. Well, because naturally I used to put a sort of two nice rashers of bacon, one each, and that carried on very well. Well, now, dinner times, perhaps you had what they call skilly. Well, that was a jolly good feed. It was meat and vegetables and that, and the old-fashioned stew. And you had to go and draw that each one at the cookhouse in your mess tin. Well, that carried on, and then one or two occasions you'd perhaps have a good old lump of roast beef. I don't know how the hell they roasted it, but it used to be a good old chunk. And oh blimey, well, I know on this particular day I went and fetched it. Oh, it was a hell of a big lump of beef. And I had to cut it up, tissue it out, one each, you know, round about, and I'd give old Sid me tin, and I cut two nice knobs off, one for him and one for me in the tins, and dished the other round. Well, there were one of the chaps there, he didn't come from this district, but he was in my section, and I don't know whether he caught out of a gristly lump or not, I don't know, but he turned and he said to me, he says, oh, he said, I don't know, he said, you two buggers had a nice lump of peace, he said, but mine ain't. Well, I nearly lost me stripes over that, but anyway, it soon blew over and we were pals. But it was so simple how you could get into trouble with things like that. We used to pass the time away in the daytime with the old card school, four of us. We always used to be playing solo. Well, that used to pass the time away very nice, but because there was no pay, and if one of us run out, well, we used to sort of have a sub off each other, because you wasn't paid until you went out for a long rest at a village behind the lines. That's when you were paid. But in there, well, you had to use what money you got. And we used to sit and play cards during the daytime to pass the time away. And I always remember there in that wood when we wandered about a little bit, there was all growing wild in the wood was daffodils, very similar to what you get in the woods in England. You get bluebells and primroses, but there was quite a lot of daffodils growing about wild. That was very interesting. Well, after a few days' rest, then you had to return back up to the front line again. Well, now, on the way back, I always remember, because each company, each battalion, had its own little cemetery. And as we went back, all came in, as you went along these duck boards, close by was our little cemetery. I always remember that, because I used to have a look across when it was dark, when it was light enough perhaps just to see. You could see the wooden crosses, and I used to think as I went by them, I thought, blimey, I wonder if I should be one of them the next time round. But anyway, the guide used to lead us along, and in the dark, it was narrow, and along these duck boards, you had to catch out the back of the one that was in front of you, so as you didn't get sort of lost on the way out. Well, now, when you got back in the trenches, because you relieved those that was there, they came back in the wood, you went back in your trench. But now I'll just tell you a few tales that you might find a little interesting, because you had to do something, else you went haywire, what with shelling and so on. But you used to get quite a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. Well, now, I'll tell you one or two little tales. One especially was when the Russians came up at night, I used to bring them along your parcels or letters. Well, now, just our little bunch, the four of us especially, was my old mate, of course, Sid Carroll, and Joe Scragg and Fatty O'Dell. Well, you wasn't always together in the trench. There might be perhaps 50 or 100 yards further along from one another. Well, if any of us four ever had a parcel come, it didn't take long for somebody to nip along and they say, oh, old Sid's had a parcel, or old Ortmund has had one, and so on. But on this particular occasion, I had a blooming great parcel come up one night, and it wasn't long before Fatty O'Dell and old Joe Scragg was come along. I said, oh, we hear you got a big one. Well, we used to sort of share it among ourselves. Well, I opened this and there was a great big cake in it and fags and all sorts of chocolate and, you know, all the odds and ends. And there was two balaclava helmets. You know what they are, those woolen khaki helmets that covered your head by just your nose and eyes and mouth. I thought, oh, they're beautiful. And I cut the cake up, we shared that out, had a blowout, and I said, well, I said, I don't want two of these. I said, anybody want to buy one? So old Fatty said, I'll buy it. I said, what will it give me? He said, oh, he said, I'll give you a dollar for it. I said, all right. So I sold Fatty this balaclava helmet for $5, a dollar, and then I read the letter, my mother's letter. She said, oh, she said, Sid's mum and me have put a parcel together between you, and I hope the helmets will keep you warm. Oh, blimey, I said. So I said to old Fatty, I said, oh, I said, let's have that back again. I said, that ain't mine. But he said, oh, no. But anyway, after a little bit of leg pulling, I had it back and I give it old Sid. And it wasn't any good at all, because I put it on, you know, cold in the night, and I put this helmet on, and old Sid put his on, and the tin hat on top. And along during the night, along the trench came Captain Birchall and Lieutenant Brown, Pinky Brown as we call him. He came along. I done a grin. I thought, oh, old Birchall will be envious. He was. He took one look at me. He said, take that bloody thing off of your head. I thought, oh, blimey. So, of course, I had to take it off. He said, look, he said, with that on your head, he said, a German could come and put his head over the parapet, tap you on the shoulder, and you wouldn't know he was there. And I never dare wear it no more. Well, to cut a long story short, many, many years later, I found my old kit bag in the barn where I live now, and that was there all moth-eaten. But I didn't wear it, but I brought it home. Well, now, they're silly little things, but one, I'll tell you one tale now that was really a laugh. We, one night, it was a quiet night, and there was a bit of a moon, not much, just a little bit of a moon, and all quiet, and I wandered along just where our chaps was, my section. And one of them said to me, he said, look, he said, I reckon there's a jerry down here. Because you see, the parapet, sandbag parapet, then it slopes down from there, down into the barbed wire along the front of you. So this chap says, I reckon, he said, there's a jerry down in that wire. And it was quiet. He said, you listen. And we listened, and you could hear some bit of shuffling. I said, well. And he says, wait till the moon comes. It was cloudy. You know how the clouds go over the moon at night? Well, the moon, now and again, it just popped through the clouds, and we stood there, and the moon popped through. He says, there you are. He said, look, he said, that's his face. It's Sean White. I said, oh, hell, it is, I reckon. I said, well, now you go along. I said, and go and fetch Lieutenant Brown, Pinky Brown. Well, he came along. We listened. You could hear it, hear him moving. And then when the light of the moon shot through again a little bit, he says, yes, I think it is. He says, go over and see what it is. Oh, blimey. I said, all right. So he said, you have my revolver. I'll have your rifle. So he said, now you go along a bit, then crawl along in front of the sandbags below the parapet till you get to him. Well, he went along and he said, different each side of us, he's told the chaps, he said, don't do any firing, because we used to loose rounds off, you see, every now and again. Don't do any firing, he said, because someone will be out there. So I slid over the parapet, crawled slowly along below the parapet towards where this German was, and I reckon if anybody had put a penny firework cracker behind me, I should have shot 6 foot up in the air, crawling along, and just before I got to it, there was a scuffle. And oh, blimey, when I got right up to it, I thought, well, I slid back over the sandbags back in the trench. He says, what was it? I said, oh, blimey, do you know, it was a biscuit tin. Somebody threw a biscuit tin over the parapet out there among the wire at the bottom, and there was must have been some food in it and several rats scrabbling about in it. But that's all it was. But oh, that took me a long time to live down. Old Sid Carroll used to very often say, oh, hell, kid, you nearly had a VC for capturing a biscuit baler and a couple of rats. Most days, the Germans would give us a nice little paste in a shell fire, perhaps for a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, give us a real pasting. Well, now, it was well known that our artillery had got very, very few shells at all. Very seldom you could hear our artillery using them at all. But the Germans seemed to have loads of them, and it was well known they did at that time. Well, now, our weapons there in the trenches, we had no automatic weapons at all. All our weapons was just the rifle, bayonet, and ammunition, rifle ammunition. And because you had 10 rounds in the magazine and one in the breech, or one up the spade as we called it. Well, each time you use your rifle, you had to draw your bolt back, empty the cartridge case, and so push your bolt forward to put another round in. And that was the main training for speed of loading. Well, now, the only other weapons we had in the trenches there at that time was just a rifle and bayonet and a machine gun section which covered your battalion. And what they used to do to try and deceive the Germans with the machine gun section, one day they'd use it and fire off a number of rounds, several belts, off with the old machine gun, old Maxim guns they was in those days. I used to use that. Perhaps the next day they'd shift it along, further along the trench, and fire from there. So try to deceive the Germans into thinking that we'd got several machine gun sections. They used to use that quite a lot, dodging along the front line. Now, night time and morning, you all had to what they call stand to. Now, as soon as it got dusk, everyone in the trench, whether it was you was turned on or off of duty, you had to line the trench at night, because all battles in those days used to start at dusk or dawn, and in the morning you used to line up again just the same, just before it got light. But there was one good thing about the morning, because they used to come along every morning, sergeant and officer, with a rum jar, and you had a jolly good tot of rum. Each one, it used to be a little tin, similar to the old-fashioned mustard tin. A nice tot, but oh golly, that did do you good. Used to come along every morning and give you that. During the night, it was often a terrible job to keep awake, especially between 12 and 2 in the morning. Well, when you was on the fire step, you used to lay your rifle on the sandbags, pointing straight across to the German lines. Well, there was rats all over the place because of the food laying about. It soon got swarmed with rats. Well, often I used to stick a bit of cheese on the end of my bayonet and then listen till the rats used to come and nibble the cheese, and then just press the trigger and that scattered them. Well, now, when you done that, the bullet, you could fire as many rounds as you like. You could do just what you like. You could fire a dozen or none at all. But in the night, you used to fire one now and again to try and keep you awake. But that also happened that if any of the Germans happened to be wandering about filling sandbags or repairing their barbed wire, you could never tell. And those bullets sometime may have caught home all right. Well, now, I'll just tell you a little tale about a brattle chap, because in the trenches there was no sanitary arrangements, as you might know. Well, we used to have a little tub, a tin tub. Well, someone had to empty that. It used to be cut at the back of the trench where they used to empty it at night. Well, in the morning, a chap to empty it for you, take it along and put it at the back of one of the slit trenches, ready to be cleaned out at night. And there was a brattle chap on this particular occasion. He was carrying this tin tub along, and it was splashing. It's a nice subject, splashing about, so... Oh, blimey, so I ain't carrying this, so he said, I'll put it on me head. Well, he lifted this tub up, put it on his head. He hadn't gone many yards because that showed above the parapet, above the sandbag. Oh, blimey, wasn't many minutes before bang, 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 and there was holes in it. Old Sam, a chap named Sam Hollis from Brattle. Oh, blimey, let that go. Well, you could smell Sam for a week after that. But now it must be getting very close toward the end of this half-hour tape. Well, now, God willing, if I feel like it, I'll, another day or two, I'll have a go at another tape, and I'll tell you then how my old mate got busted up and finished. Because he had a real bad smash up and send home operations, and he never come back to the war again. So all being well, in a day or two, if I feel like it, I'll have another go. Yes, it so happened that there was time when he came round. The other night I'd got a few minutes left on this tape, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wind it up by talking about discipline. Now, us chaps was all young civilian chaps, just joined up, so we really was part-time soldiers. But no, the High Command treated us as though we was real old soldiers, the old-fashioned discipline. Now, I'll just give you an instance how it was early on with old Fatty Odell, the discipline. Now, we was allowed to write home and your envelope, you was allowed one every so often, what they called a green envelope, and you could write all private matters in that, such as writing to your wife or anything like that. So it was supposed to be private and they would not be censored. In other words, they trusted you that you wouldn't put anything in wrong. And your ordinary letters you left unsealed so that they could open them and look at them. Well, now, on this particular occasion, poor old Fatty wrote to his girl at Bradwell, and it was a girl he was courting. As a matter of fact, it was old Joe Scragg's sister. And eventually, he married her, had a large family and so on. But Fatty wrote home to his girl, told her where we was, how we got on, the times we was having, the laughs and jokes, and the times in the wood and so on, all the lot, and just where we was. Well, now, by some chance, they opened Fatty's green envelope. That caused it. And do you know, when we went out to rest, you go to rest to a village behind the lines every so often for a week or so's rest. And Fatty had a court-martial for that. And he was sentenced to so many days tied to the wheel. Now, every day he had to spend so many hours tied. Didn't matter whether it poured or rain or whatever it was. Now, the wheel, in those days, of course, there was no motor transport, or very little. But the wheel was an old gun carriage or a transport wagon, horse-drawn. And there was a man at Bradwell named Teagle, Charlie Teagle. He was a drum, he was in the band, bugle band, major. Well, it was his job to tie old Fatty up every day in the rain. He used to tell us, after the war finished, when we came home, he always used to say, it used to make me bald, to tie old Fatty up in the rain. Well, of course, we used to have a laugh about it, but it wasn't too good for Fatty. He was tied up and he had to serve that sentence just because he told his gal in his letter where we was. And that was nothing really, because the Germans knew us. We used to shout at one another. So they must have known us, but that's just a small instance of what discipline was. Well, now later in the war, towards the end of the war, old Fatty done a lot of good things. And although I don't believe in heroes or cowards, I've stated that many times, but old Fatty, he done a lot of good things. He was a stretcher bearer. He was granted the military medal and the Italian Croix de Guerre for what he did out there, because our battalion went there later in the war. I didn't go because I'd been wounded and was sent to another regiment eventually. But that's what he had, and it was well known among the chaps in the battalion that if it hadn't have been for that court-martial that Fatty had, he would have had the VC. Now, that was the general opinion of all of them in the battalion.